Hello, everyone, and welcome to Irenicast. We are the weekly podcast dedicated to conversations on faith and culture. We are your hosts. I'm Jeff.
I'm Mona.
And I'm Alan.
So I'm very excited about this week's episode because we have with us a fourth person in the room. We have a special guest today, Casey. Casey, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
My name is Casey Comstock. Jeff and I have been friends for, 10 or so years.
Like decade now, right?
Yeah. He used to be a pastor at my dad's church. Currently, I live in Texas with my wife, Teresa, and my two daughters, Lily Kate and Maddie Beth, and I work for the federal government. So we actually spent about 6 years in D.C. before that. My wife's family is in Texas, so we moved there a couple of years ago. And yeah, I'm just here on vacation, and we're just hanging out.
So this week, we are actually just going to get right into it. So on the other side of the music, we're going to hear more about Casey and his family's story. So, like I said at the top of the show, we're going to be talking to my friend Casey today, and he's going to share a little bit of his story. So I am going to shut up and let him go.
Awesome. Well, Jeff, first, thanks for having me on here, Mona and Alan as well. I'm excited to be here, if not a little bit nervous, but I am excited to share my story, my wife's story, and my daughter, Lily Kate, who I mentioned in the opening. She's 3 years old. And she has a rare, very rare genetic condition that I would imagine no one listening to this podcast has heard of. It's called subcortical band heterotopia, and essentially has left her with significant developmental delays. And as well, the worst part is intractable epilepsy. And intractable epilepsy is essentially epilepsy that FDA-approved medicine can't fully control. So just to give you an idea, right now, she actually just had a seizure yesterday. And it was the first time in about 5 weeks that she had had one, which was pretty miraculous because there was a while there about 6 months ago where she was having two or three a week. And the types of seizures that she has are not the type that you'd necessarily see in Hollywood or that people think of when they think of epilepsy. Hers are more just absent seizures where she'll be asleep and she'll sit up and just start staring off for 3, 4, 5 minutes before we'll give her emergency medicine, which is essentially Valium that we have to give her rectally. It's called Diastat. We also recently had a surgery called VNS. It's the vagus nerve stimulator. So she's got basically a pacemaker in her chest, which sends a signal to the vagus nerve, which is in your neck. I believe it's on her left ear. So you see a little wire. Actually, she's so skinny, you can see a little wire going up to that nerve. But essentially what it does is it sends a stimulus, electric stimulus, like every 12 seconds to that nerve. And it seems like it's actually helping her seizures. So we're happy with that.
She had that surgery about 2 months ago, right?
Yeah. And it actually, so Lily Kate, it's interesting. We don't know exactly why, but she doesn't seem to feel pain the same way that a typical child does or even an adult does. For instance, she fell and skinned her knee pretty bad yesterday and she didn't even cry. And so the surgery, the recovery was amazing. Like it was like it never happened by the time we got home. It was an outpatient surgery. By the time we got home that evening, she was acting like she didn't even know she had surgery. So, and she's got the mentality of, it kind of ranges, but she's delayed anywhere from like 9 months to I think maybe 2 years in some ways. But she's also on quite a bit of medicine right now. She takes, I think it's about 13 pills a day of three different medications at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So she's pretty doped up on a lot of medicines, but that's the best we can do with the FDA-approved medicines. And I keep saying FDA-approved medicines because there are some other medicines that nature has created, like marijuana, that I don't know, we can get into that maybe later, but there's a couple strains of marijuana that they've been using in oil form with children with epilepsy. They're seeing some miraculous results in states where it's legal, and it actually just got legalized in Texas. So that's something that we've been helping lobby for, and we're excited to try, if not a little bit scared, because there hasn't been much research on it, just anecdotal stories from people that have been using it. So anyway, what I wanted to do, I talked a little bit more than I'd planned to, what I want to do just to kind of set a foundation for this conversation is share with you what's kind of a poem / story. It's not too long. Just kind of what it's like to be a special needs parent, because I'm often asked to describe what it's like and how it feels on a daily basis. So let me just read through this really quick and then we can touch on some other topics. Okay, so it says, when you're going to have a baby, it's like planning a fabulous vacation trip to Italy. You buy a bunch of guidebooks, you make your wonderful plans, the Colosseum, the Michelangelo, David, the gondolas in Venice. You may learn some handy phrases in Italian. It's all very exciting. After months of eager anticipation, the day finally arrives. You pack your bags and off you go. Several hours later, the plane lands. The stewardess comes in and says, "Hello, welcome to Holland." "Holland," you say. "What do you mean, Holland? I signed up for Italy. I'm supposed to be in Italy. All my life, I've dreamt of going to Italy." But there's been a change in the flight plan. They've landed in Holland, and there you must stay. The important thing is that they haven't taken you some horrible, disgusting, filthy place full of pestilence, famine, and disease. It's just a different place. So you must go out and you buy a new guidebook, and you must learn a whole new language. You will meet a whole new group of people you never thought you would meet. It's just a different place. It's a slower pace than Italy, less flashy than Italy. But after you've been there for a while, you catch your breath, you look around, and you begin to notice that Holland has windmills, Holland has tulips, Holland even has Rembrandts. But everyone you know is busy coming and going from Italy, and they're all bragging about what a wonderful time they've had there. And for the rest of your life, you will say, "Yes, that's where I was supposed to go. That's what I had planned." The pain of that will never, ever go away, because the loss of that dream is a very significant loss. But if you spend your life mourning the fact that you didn't get to Italy, you may never be free to enjoy the special, very lovely things about Holland. And it's written by Emily Pearl Kingsley. So I remember my mom actually sent that to me probably within a month of us finding out the diagnosis. And to back up a little bit, we found out about Lily Kate's diagnosis when she was 5 months old. She was born a month premature. She was in the NICU for a week. And once we got out of the hospital, we thought, all right, smooth sailing from here. She was a preemie, but she's doing all right. Then we moved to Texas. And I think a few weeks after we got to Texas, left all our friends in DC and didn't really know anybody in San Antonio. And we got the diagnosis. The original diagnosis was actually incorrect. They told us she would gave us some Wikipedia pages about this diagnosis because the doctor had never heard of it. And it said that she wouldn't live past age 13. Thank God that diagnosis was wrong. But the diagnosis that she has is still very serious. So we've been on this journey, this kind of crazy journey, and we don't know where it's going to end. We don't know exactly where Lily Kate will end up development wise. We believe that she'll probably live with us for the rest of our life. I think the doctor, we actually flew out to Seattle to see the doctor that discovered this genetic mutation. And he said the best case scenario that he's seen is like the development of to the age of a 13-year-old mentally. But that wouldn't be like a typical 13-year-old. It's just that she'd be able to do the functions that generally a 13-year-old would be able to do. So she'll probably be living with us her whole life. They've also told us her seizures generally, you know, a lot of kids grow out of seizures. With her condition, generally around puberty, they actually seem to get worse. So that's a little bit scary. She's doing all right now. Like I said, you know, once every 5 weeks to us is amazing because we were dealing with once every few days. Because of that, it's one thing to deal with developmental issues and knowing that they're going to live with you their whole life. It's another thing to know that any day she could have a seizure that changes who she is. And I want to make sure that I don't just say negative things or how hard this life is, because like I said in the poem, Holland is a good place. It's got its own beauty. It's definitely different than having a typical child. And we are blessed with Maddie Beth, our younger daughter, who just turned 19 months, and she is an amazing child. And so we do get to live kind of one foot in Italy and one foot in Holland. But I do want to say some things about Lily Kate, about how amazing she is. She is a beautiful child on the inside and outside, just like her mother. But her hugs that she gives, the smiles, the laughs, she has this innocence that she will probably always have. It's a heartwarming innocence and something that we never would have experienced without having a special needs child. We get to experience a ton of joy over the little things, the struggles that she has learning to walk. Right now, she's trying to jump with both feet, and she gets so excited when she gets one foot off the ground, and she'll get a centimeter off the ground, and she just, it's the greatest thing to her ever, and it warms our heart too, because when we first got the diagnosis, we weren't sure if she would ever walk. So seeing her walk and do little things, clap, ask us to sing songs with her, it's amazing. She also, her mother is actually a ballet director and has been a dancer her whole life. And whenever music comes on, she just immediately starts dancing. And that's awesome to see too. So there are a lot of joys that come along with the sorrow and the lost dreams. And it's going to be a difficult journey, but there's definitely going to be good times with Lily Kate as well. So that's kind of like where we are right now. It's been 3 years of us just kind of learning to deal with this. When we first got the news, Teresa and I both felt like our lives were essentially over. It doesn't feel like that anymore, but it is incredibly difficult on a daily basis. Not a day goes by where I don't think about dreams that I had for her that won't be fulfilled. I'll never walk her down the aisle. I'll never be afraid when she goes to bed at night that she'll have a seizure that could change things forever. And So there's a lot of fear and things you don't worry. I don't worry about with Maddie Beth that I do have to worry about with Lily Kate. In addition, epilepsy, there's a stigma that kind of goes along with it. People are afraid of it, which goes to something we'll talk about later with the business that we're starting. But people don't want to watch Lily Kate because she might have a seizure on their watch. And she has some behavioral issues that come along with it. But overall, she's a wonderful child. And this is a journey that we're going to be on and we'll figure it out. And we just have to make the best out of living in Holland.
Thank you so much for sharing this story, Casey. I can hear a lot of mixed feelings that you're expressing. On one hand, just this incredible pain and fear, but on the other hand, it's sort of like magic and joy and life. And it sounds like you have really leaned into this experience with your whole self. And I appreciate just being able to hear this story. It's just what you're doing is really incredible, and your whole family. So my question that I've kind of been jotting down questions as you've been talking, but I wondered what kinds of things people normally ask or say to you, and what is helpful and what is not helpful.
That's a good question. You know, one thing that first came to mind that people should not say, and they often do, it's happened twice since we've been in California, actually, because of all the drugs that Lily Kate is on, she sometimes is kind of like a zombie. Like she'll be in her stroller and we'll be pushing her around, and her eyes always look kind of heavy. And I can't tell you how many times that people say, oh, does she just wake up for a nap? Or, oh, she's so tired. And I just want to be like, no, that's just who she is, because she's on all these drugs to keep her alive, essentially, you know. So that's something that people say, not in a, you know, they don't mean to hurt our feelings or anything. They just she looks like a tired child. So that's something.
So they're just being like assuming.
Right. But there's, I mean, you know, I don't hold it a grudge because they do that. I probably would have done the same thing. Another thing that people often do, or I assume they do based on the looks they get, is just think that we're maybe bad parents because she's always got an iPhone or an iPad, which I know is a lot of parents think is a no-no for a young child. And if she wasn't a special needs kid, she wouldn't have it as much, but it's a comfort thing for her. She's either got a playlist playing music that she loves to keep her kind of calm while we're at the grocery store or just out, or she's watching Elmo or different song videos that she likes. So I know a lot of parents kind of like, oh, I can't believe they give that three-year-old an iPad like that all the time. But there's been a couple of times, there's actually one story I'll tell, I'll try to shorten it. But my friend had given us a week-long membership at this gym, and Lily Kate was like maybe 1 year old at this time. And you know, usually when you go to the gym and you drop your kid off at the nursery, you give them your license and then you have to show your license when you pick them up. That's how it works at this gym. However, we had been there a couple of times, and what had happened was my wife would drop them off with her license, and then we'd be out at the pool and I would come in by myself and say, hey, I'm here to pick up Lily Kate. Well, on this day, they actually had called Teresa at the pool, which we gave them our number just in case she had a seizure. They called us. We thought, oh, she has a seizure. They're like, no, she's just upset. She has a dirty diaper. So Teresa goes, changes the diaper, and then sees that Lily Kate has a diaper rash. And this all makes sense when I tell the story. But Lily Kate has a diaper rash. She's like, I just want to take Lily Kate because she's not going to be able to calm down. Like, okay, we just need your driver's license. And Teresa's like in her swimsuit, so she doesn't have a driver's license. So Teresa has to leave Lily Kate behind. Lily Kate is freaking out. And in some kids, getting really upset can actually trigger a seizure. So we don't like her to get really upset when she was this young. And so Teresa comes back to the pool. She's really upset. It's like, here's my license. Go get Lily Kate. So, of course, I go in with Teresa's license. And they're like, you can't, like, we need to see Teresa and her license here, not you and her license. So at this point, Lily Kate is losing her mind. They literally, like, pulled her away from me because she had walked over to me and wanted me to pick her up. And I'm outside the gate. I'm like, you need to give me my daughter right now. Like, she has epilepsy. This is not a good thing. She could have a seizure. And so at that point, I did what any awesome dad would do. And I jumped over the gate that they have there to keep parents from stealing children, I guess. sure enough, the lady literally goes, call 911. And the guy picks up the phone and they shuffle all the other kids into this back room, like a safe room, right?
Oh my God.
And so I'm telling you the story because a woman walked in probably as I was like hurdling the wall and trying to grab my daughter, which admittedly I probably shouldn't have done, but they already broke protocol by letting Teresa in and change her diaper without checking her license in the first place. But anyway, this woman walks in they finally let me hold Lily Kate to calm her down. And this woman walks in and says, wow, with a father like you, your child sure has a bright future. And she had no idea like what had just happened. Sure, I probably shouldn't have jumped the wall, even though it was pretty awesome. I was pretty jazzed about that. but I'm holding her and I just like, it seriously bothered me so much when I got home, those words that she said to me, because she had no idea that, you know, the night before I'd been up at Lily Kate's bedside after she had a seizure, and then I cuddled with her in bed all night. And she had no idea how many nights my wife and I had cried over Lily Kate and her future and the dreams that we had for her. And, you know, it's just like, it just hurt me so bad. And it really made me realize that, man, how many times have I been in a grocery store or a school or somewhere and seen a kid acting crazy and just assumed that those parents are terrible? Like, why did they just buy the kid that candy bar? But now I try to think, maybe the kid has autism. Maybe the kid, you know, like, there's so many other explanations that aren't necessarily bad parenting. And there are a lot of bad parents out there who do buy their kid a candy bar when they shouldn't or whatever, you know, if they're throwing a fit. But it's really taught me to be way less judgmental. Also, just to try to shrug off the times, because I didn't shrug it off that day. I think I said some things that got me in trouble. There was like 4 security guards that came in, by the way, after I was holding my daughter. It was kind of crazy. Yeah, so what people say and do, those are definitely things that I wish people would take a step back and just say, okay, maybe I don't know the full situation of what's going on here. That lady had no idea that my daughter was epileptic, no idea that, you know, my wife had come and then I came and Lily Kate was so upset and I was worried about her. So those are some things that I would say I wish people wouldn't do. Mona, what was the, there was 2 parts to your question.
I was just asking what kinds of typical things people ask you and what's helpful and what's not helpful. So what's not helpful sounds like is judgment. People just thinking that they know better than you, which is obnoxious. And we all could learn that lesson, I think, a little better. But what is helpful? What kinds of things do people say that have given you encouragement or hope? Or
yeah, you know, and it's like the exact opposite of what I just said. So rather than being judgmental, nothing warms my heart more than if we are, say, you know, we'll go to like a barbecue with friends in Texas and all of their children will just be playing like typical 3-year-olds would. Lily Kate instead will be like attached to Teresa or I at our hip. She does some behavioral things that are not great, like pinching people or pushing children. She doesn't really understand how to interact with people or children. And what people can do is go up to her and start playing with her. Like, she wants attention. So nothing warms my heart more than one of our friends going up to Lily Kate when they could be talking to another adult or playing with their child and sitting on the floor with Lily Kate for 10 minutes and playing with blocks with her. Just treating her like they would, not necessarily like they would a typical kid, because they wouldn't have to do the same thing with a typical kid, but just giving her attention and love that she wants. Like, every kid wants to be loved. And even though she can't necessarily tell you, hey, I want you to play with me, if she's pinching you or pushing you, it's because she's wanting your attention. So I wish more people would, when they see that she's different, that they would just love on her instead of being scared or annoyed. Because it can be, I mean, I'm going to be honest, it can be really annoying. It's a fine line between just loving her to death and like her aggravating us so much that it's really hard to deal with. Like, we have to give each other breaks because it is really overwhelming. I think that's what I tell Teresa all the time. Like, sometimes it feels like when we hang out with friends, we worry so much about them thinking to themselves like, oh, I wish Lily Kate wasn't here. Or, you know, let's not hang out with the Comstocks because then Lily Kate might have a blow up or whatever. And so that's difficult. So what friends can do is just show us that they love us and that they love her by including her in things and playing with her. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
That's along the same lines of what I was thinking about asking you, how having this experience has impacted kind of the community that you have. And you said something that really stuck out with me earlier. You said that people are uncomfortable with seizures, or they don't know what to do, or they're scared. I'm just thinking in my own life, when I've interacted with people who are different than I am or who have special needs, sometimes it's this feeling of not knowing what to do or knowing even what's appropriate. So I can just imagine how that might impact a community of friends or family. And I'm just wondering how your family had received it, and if it was something that they had to get used to, or just how that happened.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there was a lot of fear. I mean, Teresa and I had fear. I remember when she had her first seizure, I think she was 1 year old. Teresa knows all this stuff way better than I do because she's an amazing mother. But I was asleep in bed and Teresa like kicked open the door screaming, Lily is having a seizure. And she laid her on the bed, and this was before she was on any medicine. So it was actually a worse seizure. She wasn't shaking or anything, but just limp basically, like almost like she was dead. I'll never forget. So we were scared to death of seizures. Now, we've gotten less scared of them, I guess you could say, because we know what type she has. We know generally how long they last. That said, the doctor said, I remember asking him, so is this the type of seizure she's going to have? And he said, this is the type she's going to have until she has a different kind. So essentially, it's going to stay the same until it changes. And we won't know exactly what type of seizures she's going to have as she grows up. But yeah, our families, you know, I think are a little bit scared of it too. Although all of our family, all of her grandparents, I believe, have been there for seizures and have given her medicine, or that VNS that I was talking about, the vagus nerve stimulator, you hold a magnet up to it and it starts rapidly sending electric pulses, and it usually helps break up the seizure as well. So they've all learned to use that. But yeah, you know, it's funny. My mom told me a while ago when she was a kid, I don't want to misquote her, but I believe she said that, you know, people actually in the church, some people in the church actually thought that it was like something to do with demonic possession, or there's just something not right with those people. Like there's, you know, like this stigma, like they're, I don't know, I wouldn't want to say it's like a sin in them or something is just not right with these people, you know? And I think that still carries over a little bit today. I mean, I can tell that people are uncomfortable talking about epilepsy when I talk about it at work with friends. I mean, my close friends are fine talking about it, but definitely people don't know what questions to ask. If I say, you know, hey, Lily Kate had a seizure last night, I can tell that they immediately get uncomfortable. It's different than any other type of condition, or, you know, like if a kid has autism and you say you had a meltdown, I feel like people can relate to that more, but not everyone can relate to seeing someone have a seizure. And again, they always tend to assume that she's having a really bad, like shaking seizure, like a grand mal, something you would see like on TV in a hospital TV show or something, you know?
Hey, Casey, you mentioned in the beginning of the episode that you wanted to talk a little bit more about marijuana legislation and medical marijuana. And I'm interested in that particularly because I know a lot of people have really strong feelings against it, but maybe they might reconsider if it would really make a big difference in the lives of real families, you know? So could you say more about that?
Yeah. And I was one of those people too, that was really against it. And I've had a complete 180 on that, at least medical marijuana. So it's been in the news a lot, but a lot of people I know haven't heard about it. But basically there's a couple strains of marijuana that are really low in THC. I think by law, in most of the states has passed, that has to be below 0.03% THC. So you literally cannot get high off this strain of marijuana, which is kind of funny because these brothers in Colorado who were growing it were having problems selling it because you couldn't get high on it. But there was a mom in Colorado whose daughter's name is Charlotte, and she has a condition called Dravet syndrome. And she was having hundreds of seizures a week. And her mom, you know, she was doped up on all these medicines, even more than Lily Kate is on. And her mom did some research and found that some people got relief using marijuana that was high in cannabidiol, CBD is what they call it. So marijuana apparently has a ton of different chemicals in it, but THC and CBD are the two that are most well known. And so what this strain is it's really high in CBD and really low in THC. And they're finding, at least anecdotally, that these children who have syndromes like Dravet syndrome are going from having hundreds of seizures a month or a week to literally like one or two a month. It's incredible. And it hasn't worked for everybody, but it's working for enough children and adults who have intractable epilepsy like Lily Kate, and the FDA-approved drugs don't completely stop their seizures. And so I believe last count, it's like 26 states now, just in the last year, where they have legalized this strain of marijuana, which is amazing. There's some downsides to that, because what they've have found in states where marijuana is legal, like Colorado, is that sometimes if this certain strain doesn't work for a child, if you add in more THC, it will work. And so the disappointing thing is, like in Texas, it has to have 0.03% THC or less. And so we wouldn't have the opportunity to say that this strain didn't work for Lily Kay. We wouldn't have the opportunity to add more THC to see if it worked. Another kind of crazy thing is, because it's still illegal on a federal level, it's a Schedule I drug, meaning according to our government, there's no medical value to marijuana, which is kind of crazy. Because it's a Schedule I, even if we started using it in Texas and it's legal in California to use it, we literally could not fly with Lily Kate's medicine from Texas to California without breaking federal law. So I could lose my job, go to jail, our kids could be taken from us because we have a medicine that's legal in Texas and California, but not to take on an airplane. So
wow.
It's this weird, crazy gray area where literally, I know people use literally wrong a lot of times, but literally lives are being saved. This child, Charlotte, was on her way to a very early death. And a lot of kids with Dravet syndrome, which I don't know a ton about, but a lot of these kids do die very young because their seizures are, you just cannot get them under control. So this is literally a life-saving medicine that is so stigmatized in our country. And I used to believe it was so evil, but it's a plant that God put on earth that is literally saving lives. So if you don't know anything about that, I think Jeff is going to put a link to a little segment from CNN. Sanjay Gupta did a documentary called Weed. He's actually done three of them. And the first one, he profiles this girl, Charlotte, and you will see the transformation from her being, and I hate using the word zombie, but I don't know what word to use. Like, she's just literally sitting there with her eyes half open, can't feed herself, can't talk, can't run, play. And then she's on marijuana for like a year, and you see this amazing transformation where she's running and giggling and swinging and feeding herself. And it's like, not only did it help stop the seizures, but it helped her brain like renew itself. It's amazing. So they're starting to do some studies on this. There is a bill in Congress that I believe Rand Paul and some other people introduced to change the scheduling to a Schedule II drug so they can actually start doing research. But this is something that Teresa and I feel very passionate about. And a lot of people lobbied really hard in Texas to get it passed there, and we're excited about that. So we hope to eventually get Lily Kate the opportunity to use this, and hopefully it'll work for her as well.
Looking on your blog, just about the history of changing medications and trying to get them right, that seems to be one of the most stressful elements of the whole thing, right? Wondering how a new medication is going to react. And it just seems logical to give doctors and families the options that they need.
Yeah. Yeah. And changing, you know, they have basically with epilepsy medicine, with intractable epilepsy, you have what's called a honeymoon period. So you'll start on a new combination of drugs. Like, she's on three drugs right now. We've been on this combination for a while. My wife would know exact, but say we've been on it for 6 months. Usually you'll raise a dose and lower a dose of another one. And then you'll have a honeymoon period for like a month where her seizures might get a little bit better. And then her brain just like gets used to it. And you're starting again from scratch. You're like, okay, well, we'll raise this one up. Where essentially, I mean, her doses are so high, and we're giving her 13 pills a day, and she's 3 years old and weighs 30 pounds. Like, I can only imagine how I would feel if I took all of that medicine, you know? And that's what they're finding too. Like, so Teresa and I are parts of some Facebook groups about marijuana and epilepsy, and these parents, and not every parent is having success, but the parents are saying, my child is like a totally different child. Like, I didn't even know she had this personality because she's been so doped up on these drugs that are legal. But also, I mind you, a lot of these drugs, like some of the drugs that you have with these kids with Dravet syndrome that they have to go on, they literally can shut down your organs. So the parents have to decide, like, okay, I'll try this drug, but we just have to let you know that it could kill your child. But I mean, they're choosing between two terrible scenarios. She dies by a seizure, or potentially has, you know, an organ shut down because of this medicine. So while they're FDA approved, these medicines are incredibly strong, powerful, dangerous, terrible side effects. And not to say that marijuana is a perfect drug, but it, you know, it's something that has helped people. And it's insane to me that we're so hung up on it that we won't even let children or even adults with intractable epilepsy try this medicine.
What do you make of that stigma? I mean, we could probably talk for an hour on that itself, but what do you make of it with all the things you've learned about this in the last period of time?
My grandpa might be listening to this, so I don't know. All I can say is that it's totally changed. And I do want to, that first documentary, if you have any interest in this topic, the first Weed documentary, you can go on YouTube and Google CNN and Weed. And it's like an hour long segment. And Sanjay Gupta goes into the whole background of why that stigma exists. And I couldn't tell you the whole story, but it's really interesting how the media really pushed that this marijuana is such a dangerous drug and all this stuff. And, you know, I grew up thinking that. And I remember when medical marijuana first came about, like in California, it was just kind of this joke that all the stoners just wanted it so they could get high legally, you know. And I'm sure there is a lot of that, but it also does provide a lot of help to people. And I think that there's probably a ton of medical uses for it that we don't know about simply because we can't study it. That's the most like maddening thing, is that our government says there's no medical value, so we can't even study it in this country. You know, we have the best medical research of any country, and we can't even put those efforts towards marijuana. So yeah, the stigma, I hate the stigma. I'll tell people, like, yeah, we're talking about giving my daughter marijuana, and you should see the look on their face, you know.
No, you need to keep her on narcotics. That's what you need.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I mean, when she was having the seizures every couple of days, we were giving her Valium rectally every couple of days. That's not a good thing, you know?
For a tiny little child, that's just unbelievable.
Yeah. So
you mentioned church and the difficulty of that. What have you experienced as far as how churches interact when you bring your family and nursery or whatever connected to that?
Yeah, that's been something that's been really difficult for us. Most of our friends in Texas we've found through churches, and it's been great. We were going to, I don't want to say specific names, but we were going to a mega church in Texas, and the pastor is incredible. Some of you probably have his books on your bookshelf, and he's an incredible pastor. It's an incredible church, a ton of resources. They have a preschool there. It's really a beautiful place, and we really loved going there. We recently left the church, not because necessarily what I'm going to say, but we just didn't feel like we necessarily fit in with the community there. But one of the things that I had done was I emailed all of the pastors on staff. And of course, I'm not sure the email actually made it to the pastors because it's such a big church. But just saying, hey, we notice that there's a large special needs community in this church. I think the church has about 10,000 people. And I see a lot of kids there, even adults as well, that are clearly special needs. And I said, it would be great if we could do a few things. One, can we do like a potluck to for special needs families so we can meet other people? Because that's one thing that you know, going back to that poem, almost all of our friends live in Italy. Like we don't have any really close friends that have special needs children. So we actually just went on a vacation with a couple that are our best friends, and they have a daughter that's literally one day younger than Lily Kate. And we were so excited when we were pregnant at the same time. And so when we see them, you know, we see their daughter, who's a beautiful little girl, and we're happy for them. But it's like this constant reminder that our daughter is not the same. So we thought it would be great to have a potluck and meet some people in the church. And we also suggested, you know, is there any way, since you have the preschool facilities, that you could do like a parents' night out where special needs families can drop off their children and go on a date for a couple of hours? Because that's another thing. There's a really high divorce rate among special needs families because there's just so much stress in the home. It's incredible. And then we also just said, you know, when we drop our daughter off, is there any way at the nursery, like on a Sunday, is there any way we can have someone that's there just for Lily Kate? Because if you put her in a classroom with a bunch of kids and they're all playing, she'll either push kids or pinch kids or just act out and cry at the door because she doesn't feel comfortable. Like, she needs that one-on-one attention. We ended up getting an email back saying to talk to this person. So we talked to that person, and basically they shot down everything that we had suggested. They didn't even, like, doing a potluck wasn't even an option of putting that in the bulletin. And one of the words that she used really struck a nerve with me was that they didn't have the resources to do that. And first of all, one by one, a potluck resource would be putting it in the bulletin and telling people to bring some food, right? That's not much of a resource.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
And then as far as one-on-one, or like the parents' night out, they have a huge, you know, nursery facility. They could totally handle it, like resource wise. This is I saw the annual budget, you know, they would do like a meeting or whatever. And we're literally talking like millions and millions of income a month, and they have the resources. It's not a matter of resources, it's a matter of priority. And to us, it just kind of told us, like, this is a great church. They do a lot of great things in the city and around the world. The pastor is amazing. We love hearing him speak. But if they don't have the priorities to put the resources they have towards our daughter at this church that we're tithing at, why would we go to a church like that? Lily Kate is not as important to them. That's what it told us, is that Lily Kate and us going to church is not important enough for them to hire someone and pay them $10 an hour on a Sunday to watch our daughter. So we actually just found another church. It's a Methodist church, and which is totally different than what I grew up in, but they are incredible. They literally told us the first day, you know, my wife was saying, can we take them to the Sunday Bible, what do they call that? Vacation Bible school during the summer, right? And, you know, Teresa said, is there any way that Lily Kate can come because she's special needs? And said, oh yeah, that is not an issue here. If you want to go to a church function, we will have somebody that watches Lily Kate one-on-one. And to hear that, like on the first Sunday when these people don't even know us, it was like, wow, like that's how church should be, you know? And the fact that this mega church, it's an amazing church, says that they don't have the resources when they really do have the resources. It's just not a priority to them. And I don't think that the church and people in general realize the pain and sorrow that comes along with having a special needs child and how important the church is. Like, this has made me question everything in my life. This has made me question the goodness of God. It's made me question my relationship with him. It's made it hard for me to sing worship songs and praise God is so good when I'm thinking about my daughter having a seizure the night before. And then on top of that, to have the church tell me essentially you aren't important enough for us to pay someone $10 an hour to watch your child, or we don't have space in the bulletin to put a special needs potluck in there. Like, I can't go to a church that makes me feel like that, you know? So we're going to this church. This church is incredible. They actually even have an adult service that's just for special needs adults, where they give a sermon that, you know, is obviously to their level. But they have just been so warm to us, and it's such an amazing feeling being accepted like that. So that's kind of been our church experience. It's been hard, but it's ended up being good, a good ending to the story. And hopefully we'll fit into this church and stay there for a while.
I'm so glad you found a place. Like after that whole thing, I was like, oh, it makes my heart happy to hear that people have been kind to you after that awful experience. And it's kind of making me think a lot about just parenting in general. I'm not a parent. Half the people on this call are, or this episode. But it seems to me like the way a lot of times we view parenting in our culture is to reduce someone's humanity to the function of parent, and they don't really get to be people outside that parenting role because it's so consuming. And I can't imagine what that would be like, having the additional stress of having a special needs kid. And so I guess a lot of the things that you've been saying have been related to parenting, to be relating to your daughters, and you know how to feel supported as a family. So I think what I'm wondering is a different level of what makes you feel supported on a human level and what kinds of needs you have. Like you said, getting away with your wife on a date night is important.
So yeah, that's an interesting question. One of the main things that Teresa and I, my wife, have kind of discovered through this experience is how important time away from our children is. And that almost sounds kind of harsh. We love being with our children, but you do when you're especially as a parent, especially my wife. I can't speak for her, but she stays at home with both of our kids. And Maddie Beth, who's 19 months, is, man, she is awesome, but she is a little fireball. And if she doesn't get her way, she's quickly throwing herself on the ground or pulling out her hair, screaming, doing something to get your attention. And on top of that, Teresa's dealing with Lily Kate, who's essentially, it's like having a second toddler. So I know that Teresa feels like she loses herself. She doesn't have time to go get manicures and pedicures and just walk around the mall by herself. And so that actually brings me to the point of discussing one of the reasons that I wanted to talk on the podcast with Jeff. And Teresa and I are starting a babysitting company that's going to cater specifically to very underserved special needs community. So one of the issues that we've ran into with Lily Kate, and like I said, having epilepsy makes it a little bit more difficult. And I don't want to discount other people's experiences, because I know, you know, autism, there's a lot of conditions. Autism is one of the more popular ones you hear about in the press, but a lot of behavioral issues with that. But one of the really hard things, because Lily Kate has epilepsy, we will hire a babysitter who will come and maybe not understand exactly what that comes along with. We'll show her, hey, this is the medicine that you have to give her rectally if she has a seizure. This is what the seizures look like. Once you put them down, you need to watch the monitor, make sure it stays lit up and that you can see her. So we'll have a babysitter come once, and then we'll call them again because we think they did a great job and they won't want to come again. My wife has a friend who has a babysitting company in San Antonio, and they were providing services for us for about 6 months. And then finally her friend called and said, you know, I've been really hating the thought of having to make this call to you, but I just need to let you know that we're no longer going to be able to provide you babysitting services because none of my sitters are feel qualified or comfortable watching Lily Kate anymore. That coming from a friend was even more painful. And then we tried care.com, which is one of the national websites where it's essentially like a Craigslist for babysitting, because you're hiring someone who says that they have these credentials, but you really don't know that they do. You can do a background check through care.com, but they're not interviewing these people to make sure they have these experiences or they're responsible. So we tried that, and we had a really hard time finding sitters. I think as soon as we say in the message that we have a daughter with epilepsy, people just don't want to do it. They figure it'd be easier to watch a kid that's not special needs. So why would I, you know, make the same money watching someone with behavioral issues and could have a seizure on me? So Teresa and I are starting this babysitting company. I started doing some research to see if there was a special needs babysitting company in San Antonio. It's a pretty large city. I think in the metropolitan area, there's like 2.5 million people. So I thought surely someone's thought of this before. I didn't find anything in San Antonio, but I found a guy in Denver who has a company that's essentially identical to what I was wanting to do. And so I contacted him. Originally, we were going to partner up, but then we kind of decided just to do it on our own. But he's still kind of guiding us in how he went about building up his business. And he and we are going to do the same, but he hires basically students and professionals in the special needs arena. So he hires physical and occupational therapists, as well as people going to school to become physical and occupational therapists that work with children, special education teachers who are just looking to make extra money on the side, paraprofessionals who are teacher's aides in special education classes. Essentially anything that the parent can do and does, we're going to be providing babysitters that we can say, you can feel comfortable leaving your child with our sitters because they spend their days with special needs children like yours. Not only do they spend their days with children like yours, but they're doing that because they have a heart for children like yours. And that's one of the main things. Like, there are a lot of adults out there that are responsible, that could handle Lily Kate having a seizure or a meltdown, just like Teresa and I do. We're not medical professionals, but you have to have someone who has a heart for it, because if they don't have a heart for it, then they're not going to want to come back. They're going to be overwhelmed and they're not going to enjoy it. But there are people out there who are going to get master's degrees and want to work with this community. So we're going to go out and find those people in San Antonio and provide, Lord willing, the business will be successful, and we'll provide this service to parents and families in San Antonio.
So before we get into some specifics on how our listeners can help out with that, how important on a personal level, like I love the way that Mona worded it, obviously being a parent now too, with, you know, my limited 2 years experience, there are times where it's hard not to feel like I'm a parent. Like, that's my only identity. That's my only place. Times where my wife and I can be us as a couple. Times where I can be who I am as an individual. How important is a worry-free environment for a healthcare provider or a sitter for Lily Kate? How important is that to your personal well-being, and not only your personal well-being, but your well-being of your marriage and your relationship with your wife?
Yeah, it's incredibly important. And this has been a huge strain on our marriage. We obviously love each other, but this is not something that we expected to have to deal with. First of all, Teresa actually works. She's a dance teacher, as I mentioned earlier. She works in the evenings, 4 nights a week, and I work during the day. So we literally high five as I come in the door and she goes out the door. So not only are we dealing with a special needs child, but about 80% of the time we're dealing with it by ourselves. And she gets home about the time that I'm going to bed. Having a night out, we've actually tried to make it, you know, like I said, we've been having a hard time finding sitters. We have one friend right now that's willing to watch the girls, and we try every weekend to go out for a few hours, just the two of us, because if we don't, first of all, we don't feel like we're a couple, like our relationship is strong, because we're not spending quality time together that doesn't involve screaming and of babies and changing diapers. But we also will take time sometimes just to go off by ourselves, because, man, I tell you what, like, I need time to go listen to a podcast, take a walk, read a book, to watch TV, just do like things that, you know, every parent wants that, right? Every parent, that's why babysitters exist, because parents need time away from their children. Like, if that wasn't the case, then there wouldn't be an occupation called a babysitter. But with it's so magnified. And again, I know being a parent of any child is difficult at times, but now that we have the experience of a typical child in Maddie Beth and especially his child, it is 10 times harder with Lily Kate, just because it's just this all wrapped up into this emotional, spiritual, physical sorrow and pain sometimes, that it's not just that you're taking care of what essentially is another toddler. It's just everything wrapped into it. You look at her and you feel so much love, but you also feel so drained emotionally and spiritually. And then that also can rub off on your spouse. You can take it out on them. So I can't say enough how important it is to have time away, time to be Casey, time to be Teresa. And that's what we're hoping we can provide these families in San Antonio and hopefully beyond someday if it's successful.
All I'm thinking of is, how can I help? That's it.
Well, that's a good question, Alan. Part of the reason that we are having Casey on is because this business that he's talking about is something that is still in its planning and infancy stage. And they've laid some groundwork for it, but they're getting ready to kind of do the official launch to really get that momentum going. And Casey, just tell us a little bit about the Indiegogo campaign that you're doing.
Yeah, so we're going to be starting an Indiegogo campaign. There'll be a beautiful video that Jeff actually made. You'll see my daughter Lily Kate and my wife and I interacting with her and talking about kind of what I've just told you, you know, about the service. But we're hoping to raise between $12,000 and $15,000 to help us pay for the website. As you can imagine, insurance is a little bit more expensive when you're dealing with special needs kids, and we've got to put like half down up front with these insurance. It took us a long time to find an insurance company that would actually insure us. The website is a different website than, it's not just, you know, like a blogger.com type website. It's actually a copy of the website from the guy in Denver that he's going to sell us. And it has a full scheduling system on the back end. He had it designed specifically for his service. And it also has a huge questionnaire that parents can fill out. It's like 25 questions about your child and all of their different needs, medicines, and all of that. And that goes to, as soon as they make an appointment, that gets sent to the babysitter. So the babysitter has all the information about the child, contact information for the parents. We encourage the parents to call the sitters ahead of time. So they can say, you know, if there's anything that's changed, exactly what their child needs, because we want parents to be able to go out and have a good night and not be worrying the whole time or texting or calling, you know, to see if their child is okay. We want them to know our child is with someone who's just as qualified as I am and they're going to be okay. So we're going to be starting this Indiegogo campaign. We're hoping to raise some funds because, to be honest with you, Teresa and I, you know, I have a great job, but Lily Kate has a lot of medical costs. She just had that surgery. So we're going to try to do this business either way, but our finances are tight as well. So we're hoping that people will see that this is a need that needs to be filled, not only in San Antonio, but most metropolitan areas do not have a service like this. The only one that I found was in Denver that's been successful. So we're hoping that if it's successful in San Antonio, then we'll spread out to Austin, which is only about an hour away. And Lord willing, you know, in a couple of years, we could be in all the major cities in Texas and be helping a lot of children. I do want to throw out a fact there, too. I looked this up on the census. There's 546,000, just in San Antonio, there's 546,000 children between 0 and 18, and 6% of those are classified as having some type of special need. And it's approximately 40,000 children. Now, not all of them have special needs where they need a babysitter that's, you know, like one that we would be providing. But even if it's 10% of that, that's 4,000 children in San Antonio and families who are having a hard time finding a sitter that's qualified to watch their child. So this is a big need. Like at first glance, they may think, oh, there can't be that many children, but there are a lot of special needs children out there. A lot of autistic, a lot of sensory processing disorder. There's so many things that Teresa and I have been learning about since we started looking into this business that we never would have thought about. It's not just kids in wheelchairs or with epilepsy. There's so many different conditions out there. Kids who need a sitter that's more compassionate and loving and caring.
We will have links and all the information that you need if you would like to help give a little bit to the Indiegogo campaign. They will be located on the show notes for this episode. Irenicast.com/22. So that's Irenicast.com/22. There you can also leave comments for Casey or for us or with questions or anything like that and discuss some of the things that Casey talked about. And we'll also post a link on our Facebook page. So any way that you can possibly do that. And then if you just want to go straight to the Indiegogo page, you can search LKC Sitters and the Indiegogo thing should pop up on that, right?
Yes, it will.
And that'll have the video and all the specific information. And the way Indiegogo works, it'll have a breakdown of all the costs, so you know exactly what's going into all of that. So we encourage you, what Alan said, you know, sometimes when you hear a story like this, you feel a little helpless. So hopefully this is an opportunity for all of us to get involved a little bit and do something about what sounds to be a real need for the well-being and the abundance of life that is necessary for parents of special needs children. Alan, Mona, do you have anything else to add or say?
I just want to say, Casey, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. I know that this helps me personally just thinking about other people's situations and like you and Mona were talking about, not being assuming of where people are at and not being afraid to love on someone, you know, even if I'm worried about how it's going to look or if I'm going to be, you know, appropriate or prepared, but just to love other people is really cool. It's something I'm going to keep in mind. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. And again, like, it just reminded me, you saying that, loving on them. Like, there was a time when we were at a museum and Lily Kate went up to this woman, and it was an African-American woman, and she had long dreadlocks, and Lily Kate went up and started playing with her dreadlocks. I think she was like 1.5 at this time. And of course, we were like horrified, like, oh my God, what are you doing, Lily Kate? But the woman was so sweet, like picked her up, put her in her lap, and just let Lily play with her. Like, she could tell that Lily Kate was special needs, you know? And most, I can't speak for all special needs parents, obviously, but most, I would think, would be happy to see people treating their child like they're just a normal child. You know, like, we want to fit in. We're just like every other parent. We want our kids to be accepted. So if you have the opportunity, if you see a Down syndrome kid and you can give them a high five and treat them just like you would any other kid, I think that that's what most people can do on a daily basis. Is just, Teresa and I have kind of a saying that we say to each other, like, as long as Lily Kate is happy, that's all that matters, because we know she's not going to be a rocket scientist. She's probably not going to go to college. She's probably not going to get married. But all we can do as parents is just make sure she's happy and that she's laughing and enjoying life. So you can do that too, even though you're not a special needs parent.
And I want to add on to that. Thank you so much, Casey, for coming and sharing. This has been really educational for me in a lot of ways. I think a lot of us just don't, a lot of times we just don't know and we don't want to make things worse. So we just kind of keep our distance. And it sounds like that's not the worst offense you can make. that is among the worst offenses you can make. It's better to jump in a little bit and get a little bit messy, like make some mistakes and maybe risk being a little bit offensive, but for the sake of loving and for the sake of going out of your way and caring for. And in a rare devotional moment, I just want to add, I've been thinking this whole time about about the words of Jesus and to suffer the little children unto me and to care for the least of these, not in a diminutive sense, but to care for those in our society who have the most need. And that is the true measure of our faith. And I don't think we can call ourselves faithful people or spiritual people if we're ignoring these needs. And so I just thank you again for reminding us of this.
All right. And so just a reminder, irenicast.com/22. We'll have all the links for the Indiegogo campaign. We'll put links in there that give a detailed description of Lily Kate's specific condition if you want to know more about that. So as a fan of the show, Casey has chosen our segment for this week. So on the other side of the music, we are going to be playing another game of Jesus or Jay-Z. All right. We are back again with, this is our third edition of Jesus or Jay-Z. Well, this game, like I've gone back and listened to music from when I was in high school and in youth group, and I didn't realize how awful some of these, like, or how weird, and you're kind of in that youth group bubble and you forget how weird you are as a Christian sometimes.
Wait, I got to say, you actually went back and listened to music for this? There's a thing called the internet. You can just Google.
No, well, yeah, but I still listen to it. I have a long, this is kind of like an Alan thing, I guess, but I have a nostalgia playlist of music that even though I don't listen to it anymore, I still like to hear it because it reminds me of a certain time, not because I like the music. So Casey, since you are our guest today, we're going to let you start with the first song lyric. And just for those of you listeners, as a reminder, we are reading song lyrics and it is the job of the other host to guess whether it is coming from a Christian song or a non-Christian song.
Okay. And mine aren't very long, but I feel like they'll get the point across. All right. So can't you see that he spread love for you, shed blood for you, cry for and die for you?
Pretty straightforward Christian to me. I'm going to say Christian.
Does it? Well, let me read you the next line, which I didn't want to include to throw you off a little bit. So the next line is, Willies with MacMillies know how you get down. You still think that that's Christian? Well, how that fits in, I'm not really sure. But
I'm going to go with not Christian just for awesome. The opposition.
Is it like a gangster rap or something where people are shedding blood for their homies?
So it is close. It's actually P. Diddy, best friend, and he's talking about Biggie, I guess, that guy that got shot down, he was friends with. So I think I read through the whole song and I'm still not clear whether it was Biggie shedding blood and crying and dying for me or Jesus. Because P. Diddy, I think every once in a while mentions God, but someone died and cried and shed blood. But he's also a Willie with Mac Millie. So
all right, Alan, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, sure. And it feels like all these tears are coming through when I think of everything you do. And it feels like all this joy is bleeding through when I think of seeing you.
I don't want to bleed joy. That doesn't sound appealing to me.
No, it doesn't. Why does joy and violence have to go hand in hand like that?
Okay, I'm going to say Christian.
Yeah, I'm going to say Christian too.
I'm going to say not Christian.
So I feel like the thing that should have tipped it away, the word through is rhyming with the word through.
Oh, it's got to be Christian.
It's totally Christian. When hallelujah rhymes with hallelujah, right? You know.
There was this worship song that we used to do. I don't even remember what it's called, but literally like the chorus was, God, you are great. You do miracles so great.
Great. I remember that one.
Oh my goodness. I mean, come on, really?
All right, guys, here we go. Are you ready? You took my heart and ran away. Forever in my heart, you'll stay. No matter what we've been through, I'm going to keep on loving you. It's not the way that I feel because I'm really in love with you. You stole my heart. Then you ran away. What am I to say? I love you anyway. My love for you will never change because I still feel the same way. The love I have for you will never grow old. Oh, no. That was kind of long.
I've heard that song before. I just can't.
It just ends with, oh, no.
Oh no!
Like in the middle,
and then the chorus.
So
yeah,
in that, if it was Christian, then that means Jesus ran away. It says you ran away, so I guess it's not once saved, always saved theology. So you could lose your salvation. I'll say secular.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with secular.
I'm gonna go with that too. I think I've heard it before. I just can't.
I'm freaking bad at this game, you guys. I should have done the two line Jeff scenario.
That's right.
It's Usher. Usher. Yeah. I was supposed to read the chorus that's way more worship song soundy, but I got flustered and nervous, and then I read the wrong part of the song. This is the best game that I'm good at.
Okay, so mine is, I'm obliged and obey. I'm enslaved to what you say.
That's all, Jeff? Come on, you got to give us more than that.
That's all I got.
Well, it's awful, and so I'm going to go with Christian.
I'm going to say non-Christian.
I'll say Christian.
It is Christian. It is.
Dude, I've gotten everything wrong.
It is.
Is it Skillet Again?
No. It's Audio Adrenaline.
Yeah.
And it's their song, Some Kind of Zombie. Okay, so that means, Casey, we're back to you.
All right, and I feel like this one's kind of easy, but I just had to pick it because the lyrics are awesome. It was actually turned into a meme, I believe. So my friend the other day, before I start, my friend asked me whether it's pronounced meme or may-may.
How old was this friend?
Matt, you know who you are. He's my age, and I just went on vacation with him, and he thought it was may-may, so hopefully he's listening to this. All right.
I feel like I want to say may-may now.
I know. All right. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets.
I know this one.
Jeff, you've led this one.
I hate it when people use the sloppy wet.
It's been changed to unforeseen kiss, but originally it was sloppy wet kiss.
I don't know who did it originally, but the latest version of it is David Crowder. It is Christian.
But there's one other lyric that is kind of funny, and this is the one that turned into a may-may. the lyric is, love's like a hurricane and I'm a tree. And I feel like trees don't usually do very well during hurricanes. But I saw this may-may where this guy was dressed up like a tree, and then it said, his love is like a hurricane and I'm a tree. It was nice.
If we find that, we'll put that in the show notes so you can all enjoy, even though I hate may-mays so much. But that's a whole nother thing. Anyway, Alan?
I'm going to have to say may-may from now on. It's going to stick with me.
All right, here we go. Me, I cried out, God, you dared me in the dark. I felt a hush fall quietly from my spark. So now I hide in piles of princely orange peels. It feels the way you told me how it always feel.
Orange peels?
Orange peels.
Princely.
Princely.
Like orange peels that Prince disregarded between sets at a concert or something like that? Like that is, that's just weird. I'm going to go with non-Christian.
Christian, because it's so bizarre. How bizarre.
So it's actually by Passion Pit. Have you guys heard of Passion
Pit? Oh, yeah.
Passion. I love Passion
Pit. Which are not a Christian band, right?
Not a Christian band, no. So it's kind of Christian-y feeling. The song's called To Kingdom Come. So I'm pretty sure there's some influences there, but I like that song. Even though it's a little bit cheesy with the princely orange peels, I think of Potpourri.
What?
I don't know. It just some reason you saying potpourri makes me laugh.
Potpourri, yeah. You don't see orange peels like lying around all over the place unless it's in potpourri.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. All right, Mona, you're up.
I only got one this week. I'm sorry. It's hard.
That is disappointing, but we will allow it.
Fine. You have to allow it. You have no choice.
Mm-hmm. All right. So my last one is this. Now pull me apart. I'm suspended in you. Stretch me bigger.
You have to do stuff like that.
All I can think of is Jell-O and string cheese.
Don't bring in Jell-O and stretch. Anyway.
Stretch Armstrong. Do you guys remember those?
Yeah.
Okay. This has to be a Christian song.
It has to be Christian.
It's so gross. Like nobody outside of that circle would write those lyrics.
I'm going to say non-Christian. I think it's about a balloon. It's about a balloon.
All right. Well, it is a Christian one, and it is from our favorite Skillet, who apparently they just have the worst lyrics if you pull them apart.
I love that band.
They named their band Skillet, though. Can we really hold them that accountable for good lyrics?
That was like early 2000s, Skillet. Late 1990s electronic music was so good.
Well, that'll do it for us this week. Thank you once again for joining us. And again, I just want to direct you to the show notes for this episode, arenacast.com/22, to get all the information on the things that Casey shared with us today. And again, Casey, thank you so much for coming on and sharing what you have going on and being a part of the show that we have here.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
help support Casey and him and his wife as they go into this endeavor and get the information on, again, once again, it's LKC Sitters, and you can search directly on Indiegogo or go to our page, and we'll have links for that as well. If you like the show in general, you can go to iTunes and Stitcher and rate, review, and subscribe. And if you'd like to give us any feedback, you can go to irenicast.com/feedback. So for this week, I'm Jeff.
I'm Mona.
And I'm Alan.
And I'm Casey.
Thanks for joining the conversation.